have been on time. And while he's doing that, I want to give honor to the Lord tonight. Give honor to God, our Heavenly Father, Almighty God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Which God am I giving honor to?
God, the
Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that God, say
that God,
is also your Heavenly Father. Providing that God in your mind is the Father of Jesus. And then he becomes your Heavenly Father also. So we give honor to Almighty God. And we give honor to his Son, Jesus Christ. You know, God only had one begotten Son. And the rest of us, we are begotten through the Spirit. And of course, that means if you do not have the Spirit, there's a strong possibility he may not yet be your Father. But we encourage you tonight, don't give up. And I encourage you tonight, don't give up and don't go away from this place and say, well, Bishop White said, I don't have the Holy Spirit. No, Bishop White is saying, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, seek the Lord. Seek him while he may be found. And don't take a negative attitude about the whole situation. Just seek the Lord. And if you are sincere in your heart, the Lord will give you the Holy Spirit. Everybody say the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
I'm talking slow so everybody can understand the vision. Well, praise the Lord. And you need the Holy Spirit because it is the Spirit of adoption. And when the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, into your spirit, he adopts you as a son or daughter or a child of God. He's the Spirit of adoption. You also need the Holy Spirit because one day, very soon, Jesus is coming again. Everybody say, Jesus,
Jesus
is coming again.
He's coming again.
And he's coming on a cloud with 10,000 holy angels. Thessalonians says even God the Father is coming with him. And when he comes, a trumpet is going to sound. If you do not have the Holy Spirit at that time, you will not be able to be changed. How soon?
The moment of the opening of an eye.
You're going to need the Holy Spirit so that you will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Now, someone here tonight may say, oh, I have time. I wouldn't be too sure about that. because we know not the day, nor the
hour,
when the Son of Man or the Son of God shall appear. So it behooves, I would suggest to you, is to make your calling and election sure. That means find out for yourself whether or not you have received the Holy Spirit. And what I'm going to talk about tonight, pardon me for a moment, I was shy.
8:15.
What time is it now?
It's 7:15.
7:15? No longer than 8:15. When 8:15 comes, just tell me 8:15, I'll stop. And what I'm going to talk about tonight is from the Word of God. And I'm going to wait because when I start preaching, the babies start. And then all of a sudden, some of y'all who've never had a baby, you want to do is take care of the baby. You never had one in your life. What I'm going to talk about tonight is the Word of God. There are two things that are brief, and there may be more. But for sure, the Word agrees with the Spirit, and the Spirit agrees with
the Word.
And when we preach the Word, or when we teach the Word, no matter who we are, we should make sure that our reason for saying what we are saying is what God wants us to do. Many times, men and women preach the Word because they have their own agenda. Their own agenda. You have your own reason for preaching. You have your own reason for teaching. Sometimes we preach and we teach the Word so that we can vent our anger at people that we are angry with. Well, I have good news for all of you. You want to hear it?
Yes.
I'm not angry with anybody. So you can be sure what I'm going to say is not going to be me venting my anger because I just saw you all last night. I'm not angry with anyone. Sometimes we get up and we preach and we teach because we have other frustrations in our own personal life. And sometimes we get up and we stand behind the podium and you're upset about something. I'm not upset about anything today. I've had a beautiful day all day. Tell your neighbor, I've had a beautiful day.
I've had a beautiful day.
I have no unhappiness in my life. I'm not unhappy about anything. I'm happy with Jesus. But many of us are not. And when we get up to preach, as soon as you open your mouth and the word starts flowing out, whatever you have in your heart, it comes out on your words. Whatever you have in your heart comes out on your words. So therefore, those of us who give and who share and who preach and who teach others, we should, to the best of our ability, make sure that we are in right communication with God. Now, can you say amen?
Amen.
In other words, words in plain English, make sure your heart is right. Is that right? Now, what I want to talk about tonight is, I want to talk about turn to Philippians. And I'm going to try not to use too many parables because they consume my time. We're going to be using Philippians, the third chapter, verses 13 through 17. And then we're going to be using 1 John. And 1 John, let me read 1 John, the third chapter. I want to write that down. And the third verse, 1 John 3 and 3. Have that?
Yeah.
And then we're going to go to St. John. We're going to use St. John. At least I'm going to try to use St. John. We're going to use St. John, the sixth chapter. Verses 43 through 58. That's a lot of verses, but write them down. And in your own free time, be sure you read them. Contrary to what a lot of preachers in the United States would make you think, from the beginning of Jesus' ministry to the very end, which was when he died on the cross, Jesus really put the main focus, the main thrust, the main emphasis on one thing. And that one thing was eternal life. Although Jesus healed the sick, but his purpose for healing the sick was to show the people that he came that they might have eternal life. Are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Although Jesus opened the eyes of the blind, made the lame to walk, and the dumb to talk, his purpose for doing that was to show the people that he came to give them everlasting life. Everybody say everlasting life.
Everlasting life.
Everybody say eternal life.
Eternal life.
And say, that means,
that means
I am going to live forever.
I'm going to live forever.
How many of you would like to live forever? And Jesus said in St. John, he says in St. John 6 and 53, you're going to read the rest of those verses in your own time. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Say, no life in you.
No life in you.
Now, of course you're sitting in your seat and you have natural life. You have human life. But Jesus is not talking about human life. He's talking about eternal life, immortal life, everlasting life. And this immortal, everlasting life is nothing else but the Spirit of God. If you have been born again, and when you were born again, you should have received this life, which is the Holy Spirit. No one can be born again and not have received the Spirit of God. If someone tells you, I am born again, but I don't have the Holy Spirit, he is not born again. Now, of course, this being born again is when and what makes you become a child of
God.
Because when it occurs in an instant, in a twinkling of an eye, you become transformed in your spirit, and you become a child of God. Born again, when it occurs, is going to happen as quickly as it's going to happen when this trumpet sounds. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
And you're changed from mortal to immortal. How soon, Reverend Curtis?
In the moment of a twinkling of an eye.
And that's how soon, how fast it happens to you when the Spirit of God comes in and you're born again. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And it is a beautiful experience. What is it?
A beautiful experience.
It is a spirit so majestic, so dynamic, so fascinating that you will never forget it. And anyone who has truly been born again, now when you're born again, your human spirit is quickened by the Holy Spirit who comes in to your spirit. Instantly, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you will know it. And you won't have to go and ask the pastor or ask Bishop White, do you think I'm healed now? Do you think I'm saved now? You will know you are. And you, I'm just as sure as you will know that you are born again, is the same way how sure you're going to know when the trumpet sounds that you have been changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. There is no difference, for they are, both of those experiences are going to be, should be by the Spirit and the power of Almighty God. Now, if you're feeling condemned, wonderful, because tonight can be your night.
Yes, amen.
Because Bishop and Pastor, they need to know for sure that you have the Holy Spirit. If you're not sure tonight, what if Jesus comes tonight? What if Jesus comes tonight? You have to know. I'm telling you, people, listen to me. The same way you experience the new birth. Now, another word for the new birth is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Say that.
The baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Or you can say when you are filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, and you are truly filled with the Holy Ghost, you know it. Because that spirit that comes in and quickens you is going to be, is the same spirit that's going to change you in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Amen. And brothers and sisters and Christian friends, when that trumpet sounds, you're not going to have to ask anybody, anyone, am I changed? Have I been changed? You know why, Severio?
You'll notice it yourself.
Because if you discover you're not on that cloud with Jesus, you'll know you haven't been changed. Because we're going to be
caught up.
What are we going to be?
Caught up.
To meet him in the air.
So, Bishop White, they've been telling us about that, and that sounds so far-fetched. It just sounds like it's a fairy tale. It's not a fairy tale. It's just something that happens, and that in itself is a miracle. And the nicest thing about all of this that I'm telling you, only those who have experienced the baptism of the Spirit are those who really believe that they're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You want me to wait till they come in? Because I know you're interested in who's coming in. Only those who have experienced the baptism of the Spirit, that means have been filled with the Spirit, that means have been quickened, that means have been born again, that means walking in newness of life, that means in a new life, say a new life, and only those who have experienced that, because it is a spiritual experience. What is it?
Spiritual experience.
When the Holy Ghost comes in, brothers and sisters, that is a spiritual experience. Said, oh, I've had one of those experiences before. No, because when you have what we have, you don't refer to it in that manner. You can always tell when people have the Spirit of God. One way you can tell when people have the Spirit of God, they don't like to refer to him as the man upstairs. That's a slang expression they use in the United States. Do they do that over here? They don't say that in Ghana, but in America they sometimes refer to him as the man upstairs. Well, when you're filled with the Spirit of God, you no longer believe that heaven is upstairs. Both of them. Heaven, once you are filled with the Spirit of God, heaven becomes a beautiful place where you must go. And it becomes a place where you want to go. When was the last time you thought about going? No. When was the last time you thought about going where Jesus is? When? Shall I repeat? You don't want me to say it again? When was the last time it came into your mind about going where Jesus is? Ask your neighbor, where is Jesus?
Where is Jesus?
You ladies back there, ask one another, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? When was the last time it came to your mind about where is Jesus? Why? Don't you know that the Holy Spirit brings that to you pretty often? Of course, there are other reasons why we don't think about it as often as we should, because we sometimes get entangled with the affairs of this life. Sometimes we get caught up in this, carried away in that, busy doing that. But no matter how busy you become, my little brother, you must never be so busy doing what you're doing that you haven't thought about where Jesus is in the last 30 days. The last 30 days is how long? a month. But you'd be surprised at how many Christians haven't thought about Jesus in quite a while. And they say, they're saved. They're no more saved than a man in the moon. And there's no man in the moon. Is that right, brother? Back there with the pretty blue on, you got your arms folded. You're behind the man with the yellow one. Yeah, that's true. The Spirit of God makes you conscious of heavenly things. Because it's this Spirit of God that's going to change you when?
In a moment of the twinkling of an eye.
In a moment and in a twinkling of an eye. Therefore, say therefore.
Therefore.
1 John. Now go to 1 John. I gave you that scripture. Therefore. I'll talk loud till he comes back. Therefore.
Can you hear me?
1 John tells me and you that every man, read with me, every man.
Every man.
Start reading. What's the first word?
And.
Read.
And every man that has hope.
Stop. Every man that has this hope. Say the hope.
The hope.
I told you in the beginning that throughout the 3 years of Jesus' ministry, he puts the emphasis and the focuses on one thing. Laying hands on the sick was a sideline. Opening the blinded eyes was a sideline. Raising the sick off of the sick bed. All of those things were to confirm that what he was preaching and teaching was the truth. I told you in the beginning that Jesus came to tell the people in St. John, the 6th chapter. He says in St. John 6 and 58, this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. St. John 10 and 10. If you want to, you can turn to that. St. John 10 and 10. I'm waiting till you find it. St. John 10 and 10. St. John 10 and 10. I'm waiting till you find it. St. John 10 and 10. If you're there now, say amen.
Amen.
Jesus says in St. John 10 and 10, I am
come
that you
might have life.
Hold it. That you what?
Might have life.
All right. That you might have life. Now, here's my interpretation of this. He said, I am come that you might have life. The word life can be transferred and say, I am come that you might have the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit is
life.
The Holy Ghost is life. The Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit, the terms are interchangeable. You can call it whatever you want to. I like the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is life. And he says, I am come, that you might be filled with the Holy Ghost. Because St. John 7, 42 and 43 and 44 said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of the living water. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I feel like speaking in tongues.
Yes, sir.
Just makes you want to do that.
Yes, sir.
It does.
Yes, sir.
When you have it. Then he says, I have come that you might have life. And the next phrase says,
and that they might have it more abundantly.
So we got two things here, Bishop Amponzo. I have come that you might have life. I have come that you might be Remember all of our phrases and terms, that you may be born again. I come that you might be filled with the Spirit. I come that you might receive the Holy Ghost. I come that. Now, and that more abundantly hasn't occurred yet. Because the Holy Ghost that you have received, Paul says in Ephesians, is the down payment of eternal life. You have the down payment. If you have the Spirit of God, it is the down payment that you put on a car when you buy a car. So you go down and you buy a brand new Benz. And they let you put down $500. You come home and says, I bought a brand new Benz. But the brand new Benz is really not yours yet until you pay the finance company the balance of it. And when you pay the balance of it, even though you're driving this brand new Benz, you should look at my new car. Oh yes, but the finance paper holds the deeds. The finance company holds the deeds. You miss a few payments, you will find out. True or false?
True.
And I'm sure it's the same way in Italy. You'll find out who owns the Benz. Because they will come and repossess. So the Holy Spirit is God's down payment on you until the purchased possession. You want to find that where?
Ephesians.
Turn to Ephesians. Let me make sure it's Ephesians. Yes, Ephesians, the first chapter. And we're going to start Ephesians 1 and 11. Be there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Brother, you've got that beautiful Bible in your hand there. Are you you're reading it?
No, sir. I just put my wife.
You got one? Has you got one there?
Yes, sir.
Oh, make it a habit of reading it, okay? Do y'all know why you should make it a habit of reading the Bible? Do you want me to tell you why you should make it a habit of reading the Bible?
Because the Word.
Well, if you don't want me to tell you, I'm going to tell you anyway. I got the mic. You should read the Bible because, say because.
Because.
The words in this Bible are holy. There is a spirit of the word. And when you read the Bible, if you read with right intention, not if you're reading trying to confuse somebody, but if you read with right intentions, the Spirit of the Word will come up to meet you and will enlighten you and quicken you and you give you more understanding than you had before. Now for those who say, oh, I read the Bible, it has too many thous and too many these, chances are the man has not yet received the Spirit of God. Because when you receive the Spirit of God and you read the Bible, the Holy Spirit that you now have agrees with the Spirit that comes from this Word. This book is holy.
Amen.
There are some other books in the world that men have written. And they are books of witchcraft and books of sorcery. And the very book is evil. The very book is evil. Because it is the power of Satan. Satanic power. This word is holy. And when you read this word, ask God, Lord, open the eyes of my understanding that I may understand what I read. And that is why, as soon as you open your Bible sometimes, of course, sometimes you can be legally exhausted, Satan tries his best to do what? Put you to sleep. And as soon as you read Ephesians 1 and 11, and we say, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Look at me. And you wake up. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Look at me again. I said, Bishop, we've done that many times. Yeah, you have to resist that. One time the devil said to me, said, tell the people, said, they really want to sleep good, so just get the Bible and start reading and you will go fast asleep. And the Spirit said to me, you can't tell the people that. You must not use the Bible as a sedative to go to sleep. So what do you do, Bishop, when you keep falling asleep? Well, first of all, if you have been working 16 hours and you come home and you get in bed and you try to read, of course you're going to fall asleep. So try to find another time so that you can stay awake. Don't try to start reading your Bible 2 a.m. in the morning. You're going to go to sleep. And Satan says, hey, I can really work on him. He's late and he doesn't know it's late. Amen.
Amen.
Now let's read verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now here's the meat of it. 13. In whom ye also trusted. What did you do?
You trusted.
That meant you had faith in what you heard. You believed it. And you said to yourself, the bishop is right. You said to yourself, your pastor and sponsor, you said, he's right. You have to trust somebody. Right? And if you trust in the one who's telling you the truth of God's word, the truth will set you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, I don't have too much to say about people who preach and teach, and they don't set you free, but rather they confuse you, or they make you upset, or they make you angry. I don't have too much to say for that. All I know is it will set you free. Now, there was a time when a certain preacher was preaching, and the Jews became so angry because they stopped their ears up and they jumped on the man and they gnashed on him with their teeth and tried to kill him and beat him up. But you're not that kind of a person. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's read on. In whom also you trusted after that you heard the word of truth. You have to hear the gospel first, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Then you make a conscientious decision. You decide that this is what I need. You decide this is what I have been looking for. You decide he's telling us the truth. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, see the word ye believed?
Yes, sir.
Or after that you trusted, right? So now, trusted and believed is the same thing. Ye were sealed. So if you hear the gospel, and it is the gospel of the truth, and you decide to accept it, you decide to believe it, or you decide to trust it, something will happen to you. Because when I trust it, something happened to me. When you trusted in it, something happened to you. You know what happened to you? What I started talking about when I first stood up. And here he says, what happened to you was, you were what?
Sealed.
With the
Holy Spirit of promise.
Now, why does she call it the Holy Spirit of promise? Number one is because God promised to send the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles. Number two, it's the Spirit of promise because from this Holy Spirit that you now receive, he promises to give you eternal life. So that's what eternal life is, more abundantly. I am come that you might have life. I am come that you might be filled with the Spirit, and that more abundantly. You've been filled with the Spirit, but you don't have it abundantly yet. Abundantly is going to be when the trumpet sounds. Now, you only have the Spirit of God in your spirit. And he flows through every faculty of your soul, or at least he should. But you still have a mortal body. But more abundantly is going to be in the fullness. And you can be full of the Holy Ghost now, which means you no longer walk after the flesh ever and ever. But you can, when you receive the Holy Spirit abundantly, is when that trumpet sounds. And in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, you'll be changed from mortal to immortal. That's going to be abundantly. And then, you will be immortal. And the nice thing about it, be no more sickness. Not when that happens. No more heartache. Not when that happens. No more sadness. Not when that happens. No more misunderstanding. No more confusion when that happens. Because you're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, and caught up to meet Jesus on the clouds. And then the Bible says, and there shall we ever be with the Lord. All of you who have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit, he puts forth that desire. And he exudes that opinion. The Spirit has a mind, you have a mind. The Spirit has opinions, you've got your own opinion. The Spirit has desires, you have your desires. And when you receive this Holy Spirit, because he's the third person of the Trinity, he begins to impress upon your mind with his desires. And he begins to bring to you things that is going to become yours. He begins to impress upon you in your heart, in your mind, and also from reading the Word of God, the thought and the desire that I want to live forever. If you have the Spirit of God, he makes you think about wanting to live forever. What does he make you want to do?
Want to live forever.
Because that was the theme of Jesus' ministry from day one to the end. The Spirit makes you desire to want to live forever. And wanting to live forever is having life more abundantly. Some people say, oh, well, I hope Jesus doesn't come before I get my degree. Sometimes we say, oh, I hope he doesn't come before I get a husband. Sometimes we say, I hope he doesn't come before I get my kids out from underfoot. I'm going to get all my kids through school. I want to get my house paid for, get my car paid for, and I want to retire from my job. Then Jesus can come. We have no assurance of that. There's no guarantee of that. Those who have the Spirit of God flowing in their mind, flowing in their soul. They think he may come, instantaneously. Jesus could come tonight. What if he would come tonight? What if Jesus would come tonight? What would you do? What would you not do? Well, darlings, look at it from the bright side. And I thought about this over and over and over. Jesus should come tonight. You owe $200,000 euros, 500,000 euros on your house. Well, you won't have any more house payments. But you have to leave your house. Are you prepared to be changed in a twinkling of an eye and leave all of that beautiful China? If you have any. So I don't have no China vision. You know, poor people are glad to go back with Jesus. Did you get it?
Yes,
if you're poor and you have God and you have the Spirit, you want him to come
right now.
Pronto. Now. You know why? Because you don't have anything to worry about leaving anyway. I'm going to repeat. When you are poor, when you are struggling, working two jobs, trying to make ends meet, trying to pay your rent, trying to keep food on the
table,
trying to put shoes on the kids'
feet,
clothes on your
back.
And when I tell you Jesus may come tonight, you said, I hope he does. I want to be out. I want to get out of here. Because you're struggling. Oh, but my little brother sitting here, and you got it all together. Y'all, you know what I mean? When you got it all together, brothers. When you got it all together, you got all your bills taken care of, and you got a little money in the bank. Car paid for. Living off of your retirement, and you have nothing else to worry about. And then we tell you, Jesus is coming, and you're going to have to leave all of that. Do you think you are prepared? Ladies, you're going to have to leave all your china, and you're going to have to leave your jewelry. I don't have no jewelry. You're a very good candidate to go back with Jesus. I don't have no fine car. You are the one who want to go back with Jesus. I don't have a lot of property. I got a house. I have a beautiful house. My house is paid for. I don't owe a dime on my house. I just have to pay taxes every year. So do you. But if Jesus comes tonight, Bishop Mponza, I got to leave that house. Now the Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you, oh, said, oh, you're going to be going and claim everybody else's house. A bunch of lying wonders. We are supposed to live so that no matter what you have going on in your life today, if he should come, you can just slip out of it and pull it off. My mother used to say you have to wear the world like a loose garment. Because if you're too wrapped up in the affairs and cares of this life, you might not be so sure about wanting him to come. Now this one's not mean we should not have goals. Right? This does not mean we should not have objectives. This does not mean the New Life Pentecostal Church should not try to build a building and find property, because the Bible says, occupy till he comes. In other words, do what you're doing, work every day, do this, do that, but when the trumpet sounds, be prepared to let it go. Or else, somebody Everybody say, or else.
Or else.
What time is it?
8 o'clock, sir.
Or else, you might be like a certain lady in the Bible. The brother in the blue, but you got your hand up right now. That's brother who?
Henry.
Yeah, Henry?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We might be like a certain lady in the Bible. You know who she was?
Lot's wife.
Lot's wife. You don't want to be like Lot's wife. She almost made it. Then she almost made it. She was out. And the angel said, don't look back. And she said, just one more look. She said, I'm leaving so much behind. She said, everything I own is back there. All right, back to Ephesians. I'm going to lighten up on you now. I don't want to bear down too heavy. Now, what is the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 1 and 14? It is the earnest of our inheritance. Say, earnest of our inheritance.
Earnest of our inheritance.
Earnest means, in terms of business, earnest means good faith money. You know what good faith money is? You know what down payment money is? And what do you call it over here? A deposit.
A deposit.
Uh-huh. And that's what the Holy Spirit is. It's God's down payment on you. When he gives you the Holy Spirit, he says, I plan to come back and redeem you. You must do all that is within your power once you have received the Holy Spirit. Number one, because you must be eternally grateful that God, Almighty God, took it upon himself to give you the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, you do know, some of us act like that we bought it. But no, but Paul says, by grace are you saved. God chose you. You have been chosen. And all of you that have not had this experience yet, he has not put the down payment on you yet. And the Holy Spirit is God's down payment to tell the world, and that's why you should let your light shine.
Yes.
And let me pause there for a moment, Reverend Curtis. Do you all know that you people, we say, you can't judge me. You don't know whether or not I have the Holy Spirit. You can't judge me. Is that right, Henry?
Yes, sir.
Brother in the yellow, is that right, brother in the yellow? You following me?
Yeah.
Sometimes people say, we say that when we're wrong. Pastor can't judge me. He can't tell me whether. But when your heart is right, you don't think in those terms. It's just only when you get wrong. Do you know that when your heart is right and you come to church, you know what you think? You think everybody's in church is right. Is that right, ladies, over here? When your heart is right and you come to church, you think everybody's right. But oh, sister so-and-so, when you get wrong, oh, brother so-and-so, when you get wrong and you come to church, when you're wrong, the first thing you do is you say, it's a whole lot of more of them in here. They're not right either. And you start looking around to see how many people you can find in church that night that you think are not right. Because you're not right. Brethren back there, you understanding me? And the man in the black and white stripe, you got the glasses, you looked around. Are you understanding me? Oh, yes. But when you're right, do you know what the scripture says? Let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says, to him that is pure, all things are pure. But to him that is defiled, nothing is right. They don't sing the right song. They don't play the right music. The pastor didn't preach the right sermon. Blah, 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 blah. I got to leave this place. You know why? Because you're not right. To him that is pure, all things are good. Well, I think you need that scripture. Let's don't go any further till you find that scripture.
Titus 1 and 15.
Titus 1 and 15. Titus 1 and 15. And while you're finding that, now all the New Life saints, am I talking too fast? Raise your hand. Am I talking too fast? Are you understanding me?
Yes, sir.
All right. Ladies over here, are you all understanding me?
Yes.
Hallelujah, Jesus. And man way in the back in the green, are you understanding me? Yeah. You put your hand in your pocket. You understanding me? All right. Now, what does it say, Reverend Curtis?
Unto the pure,
all things are pure.
But unto them that are defiled...
Wait a minute. Are you reading with me?
Yes, sir.
Do you have an English Bible?
Yes.
Unto him that is pure, all things are pure. Unto the lady that is pure tonight, and your sins are forgiven, and you're on the right side with God, all things are pure. But to him...
But unto them that are defiled, and unbelieving,
oh my God, how are we doing over here in the Amen Corner?
Yes.
The Amen Corner over here.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me over here, Sister Anita? Defiled and unbelieving
is nothing pure.
And when you come to church, nobody's right. Because you're not right. When you come to church, she sang the wrong song. They played too loud. Why don't they do this? They need to do that. How much longer? I got to get out of here. And you just find all kinds of fault. Is that right, Reverend Curtis?
Yes, sir.
But when your heart gets right with God, and the pastor says, give me 5 more minutes. You know what you say? Preach on, pastor.
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right, let's go back to where we were. All right. Now, we're talking Ephesians 1 and 14. The Holy Spirit is the down payment. Who put the down payment on you? God, when he gave you the Holy Spirit. And what is the inheritance? Eternal life. You have the down payment on your immortality. You have the down payment now in your spirit. It is the Holy Ghost. God put it there, and I was going to tell you this. You say, nobody can judge me. You don't know whether I have the Holy Spirit or not. Okay, I'll let you have that. But do you not know, brothers and sisters and Christian friends, in heaven, every person in heaven knows whether or not you have the Holy Spirit. Every inhabitant of heaven, all of the inhabitants of heaven, they know whether or not, I'm standing up here running my mouth, they know whether or not I have the Holy Spirit. Not only do they know whether or not I have it, brother, they also know whether or not you have it. Don't you think God knows whether or not you have it? Yes or no?
Yes.
Don't you think Jesus knows whether or not you have it?
Yes.
Oh, by the way, where is Jesus?
In heaven.
And do you know who else knows whether or not you have the Holy Spirit? Every angel that is in heaven They know whether or not you have the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the angels who have never, except those who have sinned and they're chained in hell, they have never had to be born again. And the angels would just love to have the experience of being born again. They would just love to know how it feels to have all of your sins washed away. And some of you, you're not sure whether or not you've been born again. Why? When you receive the Holy Ghost, that is an angelic experience. Yeah. The angels would love to have the experience of receiving the Holy Ghost. Because they know when it's, they watch you, they watch us when we were in sin. They've never been in sin. And they also, they watched you when you were born again. They never had to be born again. They were created the way they are. We had to be
born again.
Oh, and did we have to be washed?
Yes, we did.
Did we have to be cleansed?
Yes, we did.
Did we have to be redeemed?
Yes, we did.
You got that right. The angels know. And as we sit here tonight, they know even tonight which one of us are ready. But they don't know, vanity. What they don't know is when Jesus is coming. Now that's a secret.
What is it?
It's a secret. Even Jesus said, only my Father in heaven knows. This is a secret. But we are getting close to that secret being revealed. Because it's going to be revealed in you. Where is it going to be revealed?
In me.
It's going to be revealed in me. When the trumpet sounds. In a moment. In a twinkling. How much time do I have?
5 minutes, sir.
And for that reason, in my conclusion, you need to go to 1 John. And for that reason, all the things that I have been said. Now you know what you have tonight, Superior? You have a four-letter word. You know what you have? A four-letter word. A four-letter word. Ah, what's that? You have a four-letter word. Pastor Murphy, do you know what it is? Oh, it's right there in that verse. 1 John 3:3. Hope. Everybody say hope.
Hope.
And you have a hope. And this hope was put in you as long as you received the Spirit. And it's been there ever since, unless you let the Spirit go. Now, keep this in mind. Don't let anybody tell you once you receive the Spirit, you never lose it. It never leaves. Honey, listen. You see that door? You come through that door, and you can go out that door. And the Holy Spirit can come into your heart, into your mind, and he can leave. Because it's not yours. It's God's Spirit. Just like the Holy Spirit come in, you must do all that you can so that he abides. But you can abuse him, and he will be grieved. And he won't leave in 24 hours, but you just keep on doing wrong. Just keep on doing what you shouldn't do. And next thing you know, he will no longer be there. And, say
and.
It's not the same with every person. So you can't judge yourself by somebody else. It all depends on the person's heart. It all depends on the person's personality. One man can commit sin A. Another man can commit the same sin A. And another woman can commit the same sin A. We're not going to name it, just sin A. And this lady over here can commit the same sin A. So we got four people committing the same sin. And no two people will respond to that same sin the same way. I knew a lady one time, and I worked with her. I used to ride back and forth to work with her. And she was a beer drinker. A beer drinker. And her name was Louise. And one day I said, Louise, honey, how long have you been drinking beer?
She said, oh, ever since I was 18.
And I said, well, how did you get started? She said, well, from where I came from, she came from West Virginia. She said, where I came from, when you got 18, everybody had to pick a sin. Because they were Baptists. She said, you had to have a sin. And she says, and when I got 18, they said, Louise, what's your sin? And she said, she told them, I don't have one. And they said, oh, well, you need at least one sin. So she said she tried this. She said she didn't like that. And so she said she tried that. They didn't like. So they said, oh, well, you need to start drinking. So she said she started a moonshine, which is a homemade whiskey. She said she didn't like that. And they said, well, try gin. She said she tried gin. She didn't like that. And they said, well, how about some wine? She said, no, I don't like that. And she said, the final one day, somebody said, well, have you tried beer? She said, well, no. They said, well, here, try that. Louise said, she took one swig of beer. And she said, I like that. And she said, I've been drinking beer ever since. Some people can't drink beer and said, I don't know. But Louise said, this is what I want. And she made up her mind. Some people commit the same sin and said, oh no, God ain't pleased. Somebody else can commit that sin and said, hey, this is where it's at. You know what I mean? This is it. And then you're hooked. And from then on, smooth sailing in sin. That's why I say sometimes you cannot tell when the Holy Spirit will lead. So you can't follow somebody else and go, he got high. Maybe he can get high. And then when he sobers up, he said, oh God, I shouldn't have done that. Oh Lord, please forgive me. But the next person could get high and say, man, this is what I've been looking for. And from that time on, goodbye, Holy Spirit. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
The next person comes and he gets high and he wakes up the next morning and he said, I don't feel right. But a week later he tried it again. Then the Spirit spoke to him and says, you need to stop. I'm going to try to stop, Lord. But after a while, he loses control. Then the Spirit will leave. But you don't know for sure when the Spirit will leave. Therefore, you must not try to pattern after somebody else. You have to find out for yourself what you need to do to live holy. I found out for myself, I have to go to church Tuesday night. I have to go to church Friday night. I have to go to church Sunday morning. I have to go to church Sunday night. I fast Tuesday and Friday. So you have to do all that? I found out that that's what I need to do. And what I encourage you is you need to find out what you need to do in order to live holy. You need to find out what you need to do in order to stay saved. You can't look at the next person. They may be slipping and sliding. Slippery is an ill. But you may not be able to get away with that. You need to know what God wants you to do. God is requiring you to live holy. You to live holy. You to live holy. But you must find out for yourself. So, well, Brother So-and-so never reads his Bible. That's Brother So-and-so. You find out for yourself whether or not you need to read the Bible. And when you find that out, now you are on the road to spiritual success and growing in the Lord. Until you find that out, you know what you are? You are a people watcher. Say, a people watcher.
People watcher.
And you're watching other people. You're watching the other saints. And it's like running a race. Paul said, no, you're not. We're all running a race. But some people run about, jogging about. Somebody else is going a little faster. But they're all trying to get to the finishing line. But you got to run your own race. You got to do what you have to do to live holy. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
All right, so let's go to John and I'm done. Every man that hath this hope. Now this hope is eternal life. This hope is you want to see Jesus when he comes. This hope is you want to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, don't you?
Yes, sir.
This hope is you want to be caught up to meet him where?
On the cloud.
All right. And here's what happens when you get this hope. He, in him, purifies himself, even as he is pure. Do you know what the hope does? It makes you want to live right. It makes you want to live holy. Christians who are not looking for Jesus don't really live holy. But if you keep looking for Jesus, you will tighten up the slack. You will do more and more and more because you want to be ready when Jesus comes. Now God bless you. Were you blessed by that seminar? Were you blessed by that seminar? Praise the Lord. I was truly blessed. And if you didn't get all of it today, don't worry. We got part two coming to you tomorrow morning. Bishop, you're going to have to come back again tomorrow morning. We're going to start at 10:30 promptly. We're going to give Bishop the 12 o'clock, and we're going to have him come back and give us some more of the Word of God. Praise the Lord. So we're going to move expeditiously. And we're going to just take a quick 5-minute break and set up. And we're going to go right into our service this evening. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Come here.
No.